Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Today is part 7 of our Following Jesus series, all right? And so today we're going to follow Jesus into Jericho. And just to let you know a little bit, at this time, the historians say that Jericho was one of the most heavily trafficked areas in the world. All right, so there was people from all over the place, merchants and traders and even soldiers, from Europe to the north and then from Africa to the south. All these people were passing through Jericho. So I kind of wanted to give you a picture of what that might look like. All right, so today we're going to follow Jesus into Jericho, and Jesus comes across a man by the name of Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus is blind, all right, and he is begging by the side of the road. And I want to go ahead and read to you Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and I believe that the Lord has a good word for each and every one of you today, and it is a word from the Lord for you. It's going to be personal to you. I know that the Lord's going to meet you where you're at today through his word and by his spirit. So let me read Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Lord, we ask that you bless your word today. Lord, open up our hearts to receive. Lord, we thank you that the worship today softened the hardness of our heart. And we declare that our hearts have good soil today, that your word would bear a hundredfold fruit today, as the seed of your word is planted on good soil. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we depend on your word and the leading of your spirit to do a work in our lives that will change us forever. So we thank you and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nice and loud, amen. 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 Yeah, so Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. By the way, if you're following along on our reading plan, this would be September 2nd's reading, all right? It says, now they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want to unpack this today. There's a lot of things. I really felt like the Lord wanted me to go here earlier last week. And I was thinking, you know, I kind of knew the story in my head, and I'm thinking, Lord, what is it that you want to say? And I just begin to read it, and I begin to meditate on it, and I begin to pray, and I'm telling you, the Lord opened up maybe so much revelation we won't get through it today. And listen, I don't really know what's going on in everybody's life every Sunday. You know, I don't have the details, even those who may be listening online. I don't really have all the details of these things, but I do know this, that the Lord was speaking firmly and strongly to encourage and build us up today. Amen. Amen. So we meet this man, Bartimaeus, the first time in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and he's blind, and he's on the side of the road begging. All right, so the title of my message this morning is Seeing Through the Eyes of a Blind Man. Yeah. Seeing Through the Eyes of a Blind Man. So listen, I was wondering, man, what would it must have been like to be Bartimaeus? You know, I've never been blind before. So I can't really relate to what it would feel like to be blind, but I have been in a place where it's been so dark, and I'm not talking about spiritual darkness, but a place where there's absence of natural light. I've been in a place like that. My wife and I took our kids when they were younger on a vacation, and where we went, they had a place where you could tour down this, like, way down into the earth. And, you know, it was all handrails and it was all safe and, it had lights and everything. Well, when we got way, way down in there, they had us hold hands, and they wanted to turn the lights off. And when they turned the lights off, you know, first off, your eyes have to adjust to the darkness, right? Some of you walked in today, and that white door was so bright. When you walked in, all you saw was, like, spots, right? Well, listen, they turned off the lights down in the bottom of that cave. And, man, it was you ever been in a place so dark you can feel it? I mean, it was so dark that you couldn't see anything in front of you at all. And the idea was that, man, if the lights actually went out and we were down there, there's no way we would have been able to find our way out. So it was kind of like an intense, it was with a tour guide, but it was intense. And I've been afraid of the dark ever since. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. It's really therapeutic for me. But I wonder what it was like for Bartimaeus. You know, this guy's blind on the side of the road. He can't see anything that's going around, but he can hear things. Look, everyone close your eyes for just a minute. Just close your eyes. All right, you can open them. You heard those things. So what was it like for Bartimaeus on the side of the road in Jericho? What did he hear? And I could imagine that he probably heard maybe some horses, you know, going by, or maybe some sheep, right? I imagine that he probably would have heard, you know, maybe a wagon going by, you know, or maybe an iPhone going off, or could have been, oh. I mean, what could he have heard? You know, I'm thinking that he could have heard, like, the shuffling of sandals on the rocky road walking by, you know. Maybe heard, I'm sure he heard conversations. Maybe children laughing, right? But everyone's moving. Everyone has somewhere to go. Everyone's walking by. And Bartimaeus is sitting still on the side of the road. And I wonder if you can relate. I mean, have you ever been in a season in your life where it seems like all around you things are happening? You know, everybody's like moving. Everyone's chasing their dreams, and they're talking about, oh, man, how excited they are for the next season. And, you know, everything seems to be moving forward. And you, like Bartimaeus, are kind of sitting there wondering, well, what's next for me? What's next for me? So Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road because he was blind. You know, he couldn't see anything that was going on, but he was able to hear things that were coming his way. And so the Gospel of Luke, I want to pick up a little bit here, and then we're going to go back to Mark. I want to get a gospel of Luke's account. Luke 18:36. It says, and hearing a multitude passing by. All right, remember, he can't see. And so he's on the side of the road, and he hears this multitude passing by. You know, in other words, there's some commotion. There's something that he hears. Multitude is a mass amount of people. So hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So he's saying, what is that? What's the commotion, right? Yeah. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. From here, everything changes. Yeah. Look back to Mark chapter 10, verse 47. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, remember, he's blind. So he just hears it. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, this blind man on the side of the road for the first time was no longer begging for money. He was begging for mercy. Listen, Bartimaeus was a man of humility. He's saying, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You know, Lamentations tells us that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would all be consumed. Yeah, we would all be consumed. He goes on to say that in Lamentations 3, it says, it's because his compassions fail not. How many of you are thankful that God's compassions never fail, ever? Listen, God's mercies will never be exhausted. You can never outspend God's mercies. He goes on to say that they're new every morning. And then he says, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You guys know that song. Let's sing it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing it. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of, nice and loud. Great is thy faithfulness. Come on, man. So this is the tone, I believe. Even though he was saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The tone and the feeling and the Spirit of God was bringing what we feel when we cry out for mercy to the Lord. Listen, I know that I feel personally that this needs to be our cry for our nation today. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world. You know, you've probably heard of the earthquake in Turkey. There's fires on one side of the country, and there's floods on the other side. There's so many things happening, but there's a lot of tension, and there's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of division. And I think that the Lord hears our cry when we say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I think that it's important that we do that. And I think that we get wisdom from Bartimaeus by crying out the same thing. Amen. Listen, the thing that's good about it, you can't exhaust his mercies. Not in your personal life. You can't exhaust his mercies. They'll never run out. Amen. They're new every morning because his faithfulness is so great. Amen. Now go back to Mark. We'll pick it up again in verse 47. It says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Bartimaeus was not only a humble man, but he was tenacious. Because when the people warned him to be quiet, he cried out even louder. Listen, he didn't give up. Man, he was persistent. He was determined. Amen. He was tenacious. And listen, I feel like the word of the Lord to us this morning, he's saying, don't be silent. At this time, in this age, in the world, don't be silent. I feel like the Lord is saying, listen, don't let the enemy, don't let the world, don't let anybody tell you that you can't lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord's saying, don't be silent. Don't be silent. He's saying, be tenacious. And I think this is really important for us to learn to be tenacious. Listen, not only in our prayer life, not only in our ministry, but man, in our regular walk with Jesus, we need to be shouting out the name of Jesus tenaciously. Tenaciously. Let me share with you what tenacious means. I looked it up in a couple different dictionaries, but I love these definitions. Listen, to be tenacious, this is what it means. It means that you and I, we are not easily pulled apart. It means that we're adhesive. It means that we're sticky. That's what it means. It means that people can't pull us away from our faith in Jesus. People can't pull us away from our testimony of who Jesus is and can't pull us apart. As a body of believers, amen, we're tenacious. It means that we hold together under pressure. Oh, come on, this is a word for the church. When Satan's trying to bring division and separate the church and pull everybody out, the Lord's saying, get together and stick together. It's time to stick together. It's time to lock shields. It's not time to be wandering out on your own, thinking you can do it without the body of Christ or without Christ. He says you need to be tenacious. You need to be tenacious. It also means to be unwilling to let go of what we believe and stand for. Man, I am tenacious. I am stuck like glue to this thing. I'm sticky. I'm not letting go. It's and then another one, it says that it's to be persistently stubborn. Oh, I like that. Yeah. When it talks about Jesus, you can say, Pastor Vic, you're stubborn. I'm going to say, yeah. When it comes to Jesus, I want to be persistently stubborn. But how many know there's a lot of things pulling at us? A lot of things pulling at you. right? All kinds of these different things going on. It means a persistent determination to endure. Everyone shout endurance.
Endurance.
Endurance. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. It says, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. Everyone shout endurance.
Endurance.
Come on, listen to what the Lord is saying to us. This is a word for us. You have need of endurance. Listen, so that after, everyone say after.
After
you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Listen, you're in need of endurance. You need to be tenacious. You need to have adhesiveness, a stick-to-itiveness. You're in need of endurance so that after, everyone say after. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After. See, I think many times we have a tendency to throw in the towel too soon. Come on, church. We have a tendency to give up too soon. You know, we quit before we've crossed the finish line, per se. And so the Lord is saying this. He's saying that, man, when the devil warns us about being quiet, about our faith, we like Bartimaeus, man, we need to cry out all the more, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes. Lord's saying you're in need of endurance, right?
Help us, Lord.
A stick-to-it mentality that's stubbornly persistent.
Yes.
Come on, how many of you need this?
Amen.
Yeah, we need it. You know, there's got to be something inside of us that stirs up that says, man, I'm not going to get pulled away.
Yes.
In this world that doesn't even want the name of Jesus lifted up, I will not be pulled away. So there's a remnant that God is building right now, church.
Amen.
It's a remnant. Last week, I shared with you about taking the initiative. Initiate the touch, remember?
Yes.
And talked about how the woman with the issue of blood and many other people, that they didn't wait for Jesus to touch him. They didn't sit around and wait for Jesus to come to them. They went to Jesus and they initiated the touch. And the Lord was telling us, you don't have to wait for my touch. You can do the touching. And when we touched the Lord, what I recognized that all of these people had in common was this feeling of being desperate. The woman with the issue of blood was desperate to be healed. The multitudes that went where Jesus was, that had diseases and were being tormented by unclean spirits, they went to Jesus with a desperation in their heart. And they reached out and touched him. And it says that all who touched him were healed. And so the Lord is saying there has to be this thing inside of us that's desperate for Jesus. But the question is, do I have to have a dire situation? Does the bottom have to fall out of my world in order to be desperate for Jesus? And the answer is no. In fact, we have to say no. We're not going to wait for the bottom to drop out before I'm desperate for Jesus. So there's this tenacity. There's this endurance. There's something that the Lord's stirring up and saying, I want you to be desperate for me. Not because you're in a crisis, but you recognize, I can't do anything without you, Jesus. I can't. I can't make a right decision. I can't make a right choice. I can't walk in joy. I can't love my wife right. I can't love you right. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. And so what I need to do is I need to acknowledge him in all my ways. If I'm really desperate, I'm recognizing I can't go it alone.
Yes.
I can't go it alone.
Yes.
You know, I need to acknowledge the Lord when I'm brushing my teeth.
Yes.
Not because I need him to help me, but I recognize I can't do anything without him.
Yes.
And so listen, if we're not acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways, you'll go 3 days before you even remember he's there. Come on, church. And so the Lord said, there's got to be a desperation. There's got to be something stirring up inside of us at this time where we are making a decision to take the initiative and pursue our God and pursue a working relationship with Jesus. Amen. Spiritual desperation is this intense longing to have the power and the presence of the living God operating in my life all the time, 24/7. And so the question is, how hungry are you? How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough? Yeah. And this is not to make anybody feel guilty or anything. It's just, I think the Lord is saying, man, we have to be careful that we don't walk away from our first love.
Yes.
We have to be careful that we don't allow our love to grow cold and take on this mentality, I can go it alone. I'm good. Thanks, God. Thanks for doing the heavy lifting. But I'm good from here. I got it from here. I can take it from here, right? So many times what happens that we pray, we're in a desperate situation, then the Lord answers that prayer, and then we move on from there, and we forgot what he gave us. And the next thing that happens, we start complaining about the very thing that we desperately prayed for. Yeah, and that's where we need to repent, and that's where we need to come back. Amen? We need to come back to these things. So the writer of Hebrews says you're in need of endurance that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Look at verse 37. He says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming. Come on, someone shout out, Jesus is coming.
Jesus.
Listen, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you're in need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promise. And then he says, yet a little while. Yet a little while, he who is coming. Listen, Jesus is coming. Listen, do you understand? This is what Bartimaeus heard. What's the commotion? What's going on? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. It was the news that Jesus was coming that stirred something up in Bartimaeus that could not be silenced. Come on, listen, I'm telling you, church, Jesus is coming. No one knows the day or hour, but there's got to be something about his return that stirs something up inside of me that says, man, I have to press in. I will not be silent. He's the only hope I have to see clearly through what's going on in this world. Amen? He says, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Listen, I want to tell you that today, listen, Jesus is on his way to help you wherever you need help in your personal life, right here today. Yeah. He is right here to listen. Turn to your neighbor and say, hang in there. Come on, tell him, help's on the way. Listen, Jesus is coming to you. He's coming to you today with whatever need you have, whatever situation you're in, you need to know he's coming. And the writer of Hebrews is saying he's going to come. He will not tarry. He's coming. So listen, we need to take on this attitude where we start thanking the Lord. Man, I am not alone in this. Come on, church. So many people were warning Bartimaeus to be quiet. They were warning him. Listen, it's not like, hey, be quiet. They were, you better be quiet. Be quiet. It's a warning. Do you understand? The difference between just saying, hey, shh, like in church. You know, someone might, shh. You might say that to a kid. Shh. Well, this wasn't a shh. This was be quiet. So many people were doing that. Many people were warning Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he cried out to Jesus all the more. Now watch this in verse 49. Look at this now. So Jesus stood still. Come on. Come on, say Jesus stood still.
Jesus stood still.
So listen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're sitting on the side of the road. You know, maybe you're sitting on the sidelines, on the highway of your life this morning. And all around you, things are moving quickly. People are passing you by, and maybe you're here this morning, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm blind. Man, I don't get it. I'm not seeing clearly today. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're thinking that, man, I don't see any hope for my future. I think that I should have been a lot further along now than I am today. You're not seeing clearly. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking and wondering if Jesus even cares for you. Maybe you're thinking that, you know, Jesus may just pass me by. You know, besides, he probably has a lot of other people that need help. Listen, if this is you in even the slightest way, I want you to take hope. Because listen, Bartimaeus cried out, and Jesus stood still. And listen, I'm telling you, the Lord sent me here to tell you this morning that Jesus is standing still in front of you right now. Listen, you can't see him. He is standing still in front of you right now. And Jesus saying, listen, you have my full attention. I'm listening. Come on, you got to see that with your eyes of faith. He's standing still in front of you. And listen, now he's calling you. Now he's calling you. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 49. Again, it says, so Jesus stood still, listen, and commanded him to be called. Listen, the Lord's calling you this morning. The Lord's calling you this morning. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. This is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. He's standing still, and he's calling you to himself, and he's saying this, be of good cheer. Yeah, rise up, be of good cheer. Rise up, I'm calling you. Look at verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, Bartimaeus arose and came to Jesus. So listen, Bartimaeus was not only a humble man, he was not only a tenacious man, but he was a man of expectancy. When Jesus called him, he threw aside his garment. He threw aside his garment. He rose up off the side of the street, and he came to Jesus. Everyone say, throw aside your garment. Now listen, I did a little studying on this. Beggars, in times past, they would wear these special garments. And these garments might have, you know, a stripes or something on them, to identify themselves as those who were legitimately in need of help. So a beggar's garment would let people know that they had no other means to get help. The garment was what told them, I am desperate. Well, Bartimaeus, as soon as Jesus called him, he threw off his beggar's garment. As soon as Jesus called him, he threw off his beggar's garment. He rose up off the side of the road, and he came to Jesus knowing he wouldn't need that old beggar's garment anymore. Come on. So listen to me. The Lord is saying this to us this morning. He's saying this to the church. He's saying this to you personally. He's saying, throw off your beggar's garment. Throw off your beggar's garment. Listen, Jesus is standing still. He's right in front of you right now, and he's calling you to himself, and he's saying, throw aside your beggar's garment. You don't need that old dusty thing anymore. You don't need it. You don't need to beg anymore. Come on, Lord, saying, I got you. I'm right here. I got you. Arise. Rejoice. Come on, can you just rejoice right now? Come on, rejoice in the fact that Jesus has you. Throw aside the beggar's garment. Do you understand? The Lord's saying, you don't have to come and beg me. You have me. You don't have to beg. You have me. Throw aside the beggar's garment. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 10. Look at this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. Yes. Look at this. And he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's as far as we want to go in that verse. Yes. Come on, say this with me. Say, I will greatly rejoice, in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garment of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Come on now, rejoice in that, church. Yes. 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 Listen to what Isaiah 61:1 says about Jesus. It's really, it would be Isaiah speaking on behalf as if Jesus were saying this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now look at verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil for mourning. Look at this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yeah, so what's the Lord saying? He's saying, throw away your beggar's garment today. Throw it aside. Throw aside your garment of heaviness. Throw away your garment of guilt and shame, and I'm not good enough. Yeah, Jesus is saying, come to me. Man, I have a brand new garment fitted perfectly for you. It's a garment of praise, it's a garment of salvation, and it's a robe of righteousness. Come on, we need to see ourselves wrapped up and clothed in these things that Jesus did for us. Amen. You don't need that old beggar's garment anymore. You don't need it. Say this with me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
My soul shall be joyful in my God. Jesus has clothed me with his garment of salvation. He has covered me with his robe of righteousness. I'm clothed with the garment of praise. Now praise him. Come on, break out and praise, church. Come on, church. Praise him. Stay, come on, get Jesus. Get up. Stand up. Get on your feet if you can. Praise him, church. Come on, it's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, you don't need instruments to praise him. You need a worship team leading you to praise him. Listen, I'm asking you to do this because this is your battle stance. When the devil comes after you and telling you that you got to beg, that you're not going to have your needs met, that he's not going to come through, you got to stand up and say, I am clothed in a garment of salvation, and praise him for it. Yeah. And listen, I want to tell you, this is not me trying to stir up your emotions. But if you can't do it here, it's going to be hard to do it when you're alone. It's a battle stance. It's a battle stance. Now watch this. Back to Mark chapter 10, 51. You can be seated. Look at this. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, that I may receive my sight. Listen, Jesus is asking you this same question this morning. He's standing in front of you and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do in your life today? Listen, if we read the Bible like it's a history lesson and we don't make it current, you'll read right past this stuff and you won't think it doesn't apply to you. And so Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? You have his attention. He's standing still right in front of you, and he's asking, what do you want me to do for you? What do you need from me today? Oh, it's a personal thing, isn't it? Yes. Now listen, but it poses a question. Listen, why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, do you think Jesus didn't know that Bartimaeus was blind? I mean, you think that Jesus was like, well, you know, I don't really know what you want. Why did Jesus ask Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, he knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed. And he knows exactly what you need this morning. And so you would say, well, Pastor Vic, if the Lord knows exactly what I need this morning, why would he ask me? Why would he ask me? And this is why. So that you would take the next step to getting your needs met. Go on, say this with me. Say, initiate the ask. Say it again. Initiate the ask. Yeah, see, the Lord wants to remind us this morning of the importance of initiating the ask. Initiating the ask. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Listen to the absolutes of how Jesus speaks, okay? He says, ask and it might be given, if I'm in a good mood. What's it say? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Look at this, verse 8. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So the Lord's saying, don't be silent. Initiate the ask. You know, you ever get in a situation where you feel like you've just asked too many times? Well, that verse we just read where Jesus was saying this, you know how it really reads? Ask and keep on asking. Yes. That's being tenacious. Yes. That's having endurance. That's being stubbornly persistent. Yes. And the Lord says, I'm looking for a stubbornly persistent people who will keep on asking. Yes. Because after they do the will of God, after they keep on asking, they'll receive the promise. Look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Look at this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And you don't have to feel bad about it. And look at, and it might be given. Yeah, say it. It will be given. See, it's so absolute. And it will be given to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now we have a problem. Now we have a problem. I can ask. He says, I'll give it to you without reproach. You don't have to feel bad about it. But when you ask, ask in faith with no doubting. Well, this is where the problem is. Listen, this is why we come in and we talk about the Lord and we fill you with faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. That we get your faith built up so that you can begin to ask in faith. Yes. That's why we have you declare things. Yes. Right? Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. So the Lord is saying, don't be silent, initiate the ask, but ask in faith. Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I tell you, Jesus is speaking, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And it will be yours. Listen, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm setting you up so that you can ask in faith before you leave here today. Yes. All right? Listen, I don't want you just coming to church without any application to your personal life. I got a phone call from someone this weekend. They have moved away and pretty faithful, loyal online all the time. But he wanted, and it was really a blessing. He was humble. But he asked me this question. He said, Pastor Vic, I really love the church that we found in our new home. But it feels like the pastor's preaching at me. And he goes, is my heart wrong? I said, no, there's just different styles of teaching and preaching. You know, I don't think your heart is wrong. But he made the connection that when I sit under, when we were at LWC all this time, I wasn't being preached at, but I was being built up. It's like we were together in this thing. And listen, I'm telling you, that's who we are. You know, I'm not sharing this stuff because I have it all together, church. Do you understand? I'm not standing up here like, you guys, you know, if you were like me, you'd have it all, you would have it all together. I'm just telling you, I don't have it all together. I'm trying to find my way just like you are. You know, just because I'm a pastor, man, it doesn't mean that I don't struggle with certain things. You ever get in your own head?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to set you up. Say, don't be silent.
Don't be silent.
Initiate the ask. But ask in faith. And so Jesus says, man, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've already received it. And then you'll have it. Well, how do you know that? How many of you know that takes faith?
Yes.
To believe that what you asked for you already got? I don't see it. I don't see it yet. Look at Hebrews 11, 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Look at this now. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Let's put a pause there. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Believe that he is what? We have to believe that he's all faithful.
Yes.
We have to believe that he's always faithful.
Yes.
When you come to God, believe that he is willing and able to heal you of all your sicknesses and diseases.
Yes.
Yeah. When you come to God, believe that he is able to forgive all your sins.
Yes, yes, yes.
Believe that he's able to meet all your needs.
Yes.
So when you come to him believing that he is faithful, look at this, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
All right, so listen. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar on the side of the road when we first met him. And listen, because he was blind, he couldn't use his physical eyes to diligently seek Jesus. And guess what? He didn't need him. You know, Bartimaeus started out in this story physically blind, but he had something that many of us lack. He had eyes of faith. He had eyes of faith. I wrote this down. Blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus seeing very clearly. He saw clearly that Jesus is the Messiah. He saw clearly that this Jesus can help me where I need help. He saw clearly Jesus can heal me. He saw it very clearly. So I wrote this down as well. Bartimaeus was physically blind with a clear vision of who Jesus was. So guess what? He was able to cry out in faith. He cried out in faith. Bible says that faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. One guy says, faith sees the invisible, it believes the impossible, and it receives the incredible. So listen, faith is where my trust in God, meets the faithfulness of God. Listen, when Bartimaeus cried out to the Lord, he was physically blind with a clear vision of who Jesus was. He trusted who Jesus was. He had faith who Jesus was. And when that met God's faithfulness of who Jesus was, a miracle was released. Yes, something happened. When the trust of Bartimaeus met the faithfulness of God, a miracle was released. Yeah. You know, but it's kind of hard to get there sometimes. I wrote this down, that miracles are released at the intersection where my trust in God and his faithfulness meet. It's an intersection. You know, a lot of times when we're, you know, we're saying, we're asking, you know, we're on this topic of Lord, you know, the Lord's saying, initiate the ask, and we want to ask, but how many of you know a lot of times when we ask for things, this is me, it's you, we ask for things and we want the solution. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you, when we ask, God doesn't give us a solution. He gives us the word.
Yes.
And when we obey the word, we find the solution.
Yes.
See, this is how faith works. Yeah, I mean, think about Peter. Jesus is walking on the water, remember? He's walking on the water, and they're afraid. And Peter says, if it's you, call me out to you. Right? Call me out to you. He asked, call me out to you. Jesus didn't give him the solution. He gave him a word. Come. As soon as he obeyed the word, he found the solution on how to walk on water. Listen, same thing with Bartimaeus. You know, Bartimaeus is, you know, who is this coming? It's Jesus. Man, he trusted, and he's crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, bring him to me. Then he says, what do you want me to do for you? It was another question. Bartimaeus could have said, well, you know, I'm good. I'm good. No, he initiated the ask. And he did what God's word said, and we'll see in a minute that a miracle happened.
Yes.
Yeah, so when we ask God for things, he may not give you the solution right away, but he's going to give you a word. And that word might just be, come to me. Come on, church. You know, so I get you in a place where we're praising the Lord and we're thanking him, but what about those quiet corner times? Those times where no one else is around and you do feel like everything's passing you by. Those times when you can hear that still small voice. Obeying those things will help. I was in a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and I was telling him how I was processing some things in my personal life. You know, I was letting him know how I'm trying to navigate some things at this stage in my life and ministry. And so I kind of used like a driving illustration. I was thinking about this, that, you know, when you find yourself at an intersection of real life situations in your life, you know, it's like this, when one season of your life is at an intersection with the next season of your life, you know what I'm talking about? One season of your life is at an intersection of another season of your life. Man, I have to slow down long enough at that intersection and look both ways so I can make a safe right turn, right decision. Like just a driver's illustration. But our life is like that. Our life is like that. You know, when one season is an intersection with the next season, man, a lot of times you don't know what to do. So you got to slow down. And so there's a time where you're slowing down long enough and you're looking both ways, waiting, man, I need to make sure I can step out and make the right turn or the right decision. Listen, I'm wanting to yield to the right. Right? I want to yield to the right of way. I want to do the right thing. I want to make the right choices. I don't want to make a mistake. Come on, are you hearing me, church? But listen, as we all know in driving, indecision, to go for it when you have the right way, what's it do? It stops the flow of traffic. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You have the right of way, and you're like at a standstill at the intersection in the car. It's like, who's going to go? It stops the flow of traffic. So listen, this is what I feel like the Lord is saying. Listen, you have the right of way. Today, you have the right of way. He's saying, you have me. I am the way. You have me. You have the way. I am the way. I am right. My way is always right. It's never wrong. You have the right of way. And I feel like the Lord is saying to some of you, it's time for you to step out in faith and go for it. Yeah. Don't have to be at the standstill of indecision anymore. I've already thrown off my beggar's garments. I know I'm clothed with a garment of salvation, a garment of praise, and a robe of righteousness. And I can move forward in faith now, knowing that I'm following Jesus. Amen? And listen, when you're following Jesus, you're always headed in the right direction. Amen? So listen, this isn't like a real deep message, but I think it's helping us to be able to walk by faith. Look at this, Mark 10:52. We're almost finished. You guys getting anything out of this that's helping? Yeah, look at verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, this is one thing that I really love about Bartimaeus, is that Jesus said to him, go your way. After Bartimaeus received his miracle, he didn't go his own way. That would have been the wrong way. He followed Jesus on the road. Amen. Amen. So listen, when you get your breakthrough, we can't say, I got it from here. We need to continue to follow Jesus on the road that we're on. Amen. And it'll help us. Amen. 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 All right. Well, I'm finished. I do want to pray over you, though. Father, we want to thank you today for your word. Lord, we received from your word through your spirit direction, instruction, and revelation that was needed. Lord, that we might see more clearly and that we might follow you more closely. Lord, thank you that you've encouraged us this morning to cry out all the more. We decide that we will not be silenced. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to continue to humbly cry out for mercy. We'll continue to tenaciously lift up your name. And Lord, we will also continue to call on you expectantly. Lord, we will initiate the ask from here on out. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We'll put our trust in what you said. Lord, we thank you that your faithfulness and our trust in what you said will meet at the intersection where miracles are released. Lord, I ask for us all today that our trust would collide with your faithfulness more often in the days, weeks, and months to come. Come on, say this with me. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that today we have thrown aside our old beggar's garment and replaced it with your garment of salvation. I declare I am properly clothed. I'm perfectly fitted with your garment of salvation. I wear it proudly and I wear it confidently. Thank you that you've turned my garment of heaviness and exchanged it for a brand new, perfectly fitted garment of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm not only clothed with a garment of salvation, I'm not only clothed with a garment of praise, but there's more. You have also graciously, mercifully, and very tenderly draped over me and covered me with your blood-washed robe of righteousness. Now say this, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I am born again. I'm blessed of God. I'm moving forward. I'm moving upward. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm headed in the right direction. I'm healed. I'm provided for. I'm being looked after. I'm not alone. I'm a child of God. I am loved and well taken care of. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just tell him. Tell him how much you love him. We love you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.